Jesus, lover of my soul. That's something, man. Chapter 17 of the book of Matthew. Chapter 17. Says, after 6 days, verse 1, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, changed, and his face did shine as the sun. And his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. That's what I want to talk about for a little bit. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And in particular, these last three words. Hear ye him. Incline your ear. Hearken. Hear him. Hear what he's got to say. Well, it was the voice of the Father from heaven that spoke here concerning his beloved Son. That ought to be enough to create some interest in our hearts as to what he commanded us to do. If it was the Father speaking from heaven concerning his only beloved Son, the lily of the valley, the bright morning star. It's a testimony of his person. It's God's testimony, God the Father's testimony of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. It's a notification of his office, prophet, priest, and king. Only potentate, Lord of lords, King of kings. This my beloved Son. This here he is, notifying you. This my beloved Son. Hear ye him. It's an announcement of his authority. Has all authority. God gave him all authority in heaven and earth. Everything that moves and wiggles, he has authority over. Gave him authority to teach, to legislate. But now, He's gone up from us. He's not preaching in the streets no more. He's gone. He went to heaven. He went back to the Father. He entered in, the Bible says, into the excellent glory. That's where he's at, in the excellent glory. He's at the right hand of God the Father. He's on the throne. He's the King. He's our intercessor. But even though he's gone, and he's there, even now he speaks to us. He speaks to us through the written word. See? He's there, but he speaks to us here through the written word. His sayings and His will are handed down to us infallibly. That is, the Spirit of God moves upon the writers of the book, and they're infallible by the Spirit. And there's no mistake, there's no error. It's all truth. It comes from God Himself, God the Father. So He speaks to us now. And the question is, why should we hear Him? Why should we hear Him? He said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Why should we hear Him? Now, this might serve for a sufficient answer if this is the only answer I could find. And it's this. We should hear Him because God hath commanded us to hear Him. If that's the only reason, our answer, that ought to be enough right there. Because God has commanded us to hear Him. He said, "This is My beloved Son, hear ye Him." He doesn't it's not an invitation to hear Him. He's just not saying, well, now, if you feel like hearing Him, if you're of a mind to hear Him, or if you ever get in that situation that you feel like a few words of consolation or comfort might be of a help to you, you ought to look up My Son and look up some of His sayings and hear Him. But He commands us. And I think that this is binding on every member of Adam's race. I think that command is binding right there. Every man of Adam's race is charged by God to hear His Son, His beloved Son. Well, this injunction comes from the Father, God the Father. God the Father, over all and above all, comes from our Maker. It comes from Him who in Him we live and move and have our being. Comes from Him. Comes from the Father. Over and over here in the Scriptures we're told that we ought to hear Him. We ought to hearken unto the Son. Listen to Him. Seek, and you may seek, and ye shall find. Be alert, be attentive, to give respect to the messenger. And this is the messenger here, the Son. I think every messenger sent from God, we ought to give Him our respectful attention. And I feel like I'm a messenger from God. I feel like God called me and put me in the ministry. I don't think I put myself in the ministry. I think that would have been the last place that I would have felt like I wanted to spend my life is in the ministry. Of course, I could be deceived, but I feel like God hath put me in the ministry. And Him putting me in the ministry, I think I'm a messenger then from God. And I deserve, not because of me, but because who I represent, I deserve the respectful attention of those that hear me. See? Every messenger, I think. How much more the greatest of all messengers, O Bob? Huh? How much more the greatest of all messengers deserves our respectful attention? You see, He's the messenger of the covenant. He's the Messiah. He's the sent one. He's the apostle and high priest of our profession. He's none other than God Himself. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. See? He's the God-man. But our Father in heaven Himself said, "This is My Son." Huh? Appointed, anointed, commissioned by the Father to speak to us. To make known unto us the mind of God and the will of God and the purpose of God. came to speak to us. We ought to listen to Him. Find out. Huh? Our great and gracious sovereign God has sent Him to make known who He is. And that we might find out who we are. I read to you over there in the book of Romans. The book of Romans. Where was that? Chapter 8. Chapter 8. Turn there with me again, just for a second or two here. I want to remind you of something. It says here, and I commented on it, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Now, I thought about this as I was trying to come up with something that I thought would be of some interest and glorify God and would be instructive to you and I. And so, as I say that He came then, the Lord Jesus, to manifest the will and purpose and the mind of God, and in doing so, we'll find out who we are. We'll discover who we are. It'll come by the work of the Spirit. Now, the word that God uses to describe us or to tell us what we are by nature is the word enmity. It's enemies. By nature, we're all enemies of God. Now, we can only find that out by hearing the sayings and the will and the mind and the purpose of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. If we won't listen to Him, we're never going to find it out. And He tells us here that we are by nature enemies. That's what we are by nature. Now, enemies to whom? Who are we enemies to? Now, if Pat and I was enemies, we could get over that, couldn't we? Pat would say, well, you want to be mad at me and you're an enemy of mine? Well, that's all right with me. I'll go my way, you go your way, and we could get along. But it's not enemies to whom? It's not enemies to another person. It's enemies to God. That's the word that He uses to describe our nature by state. What we are. Well, listen. We're enemies to God. Enemies to that great and glorious God. And that ever-living God to whom we live and move and have our being. We are by nature enemies to that God. The God of heaven and earth. That God that called us into existence. That God who give us being. That God upon whom we depend upon for every breath we draw. We're enemies against the God who gives us the air that we breathe. And if He would shut us off for just a minute or two, we'd be finished, wouldn't we? Now we're enemies against Him. That's our nature. That's our state. By nature, enemies of God. What an awful state must we be in to be called, not only be called, but we actually are in reality enemies of God. Oh, to be enemies to such a glorious, merciful, kind, compassionate, ever loving, ever holy, immutable, faithful, merciful God. To be an enemy against such a God. There could not be a more dreadful word written than that in the Bible concerning us, enemies of God. That's what we are. If a man finds that out, if a man finds out what he is, He's an enemy of God. He's never done anything in his life to please God. And he can't please God in this state that he's hostile against him. Well, the devil said, well, how many of us here, all of us, I suspect, one time or the other, said in our subconscious, I wish there wasn't no God. I wish there wasn't no God. I wish that I didn't have to answer to him. I wish I could do what I wanted. The fool said in his heart, no God for me. He didn't say there is no God. He knew better than that. You and I didn't know no better than that. The fool knew more than we did. We wish there wasn't no God. We wish there was no one that would hold us accountable. But there is one that holds us accountable. The fool said in his heart, no God for me. That's what he said. No God for me. I wish there wasn't any God. We said the same thing. Huh? Listen. God could crush us with a frown. He could crush us like I walk on a bug. Like I walk on a slow moving ant going across the sidewalk and crush it. He could do that with a frown. He could send us off to hell by a look. Just send us off and put us in hell and put the seal on hell and forget about us and leave us go. Enemies of God. And he could do it justly so, because that's what we deserve. We don't deserve no kindness. We don't deserve no mercy. We're God's enemies. We got to have a miracle performed in our hearts and in our souls to bring us to love the God that we hate. Enemies. We're enemies of God. We were born enemies. Did you know that? Did you know that a toad is born a toad? A snake is born a snake? And we're born enemies of God. Enemies of God. Not only enemies of God, but it says enmity, which has to do with the nature. It doesn't mean here that man is opposed to God. It doesn't mean that man is rebellious against God. It means he's in total rebellion against God. Against God's person, against God's Son, against God's Holy Spirit, and against the very existence of God. Our nature is that way. That's the reason we've got to be quickened by the Spirit. We've got to be regenerated. We've got to be born again in order to love the God that we were, that He was once our greatest enemy. So, well, you can read the rest of that yourself, but here in the book of Matthew, he said, hear ye Him. Hear ye Him. Now I told you why we should listen to Him. Why should we listen to Him? Well, we ought to listen to Him because He's the greatest of all messengers. He's God Himself. I said that He came in the form of sinful flesh. We ought to listen to Him. What's He got to say? Well, He says this. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll deliver you. I'll set you free. I'll give you heaven for your home. I'll give you hope that'll enable you to continue on. I'll take care of your present and I'll take care of your future. I'll give you an inheritance in heaven. See? That's what the Son of God, that's what He came for. He came to save sinners like you and me, who are by nature enmity against God. He came to do that. If we don't listen to Him, who will we listen to? Who will you lend an ear to if you don't lend an ear to Him? He came to save sinners. If you're a sinner, He came to save you. If you're a sinner and you know you're a sinner, well, then you're a candidate for God's salvation. You're a candidate for the mercy of God if you don't deserve mercy. If you deserve mercy, well, then you'll just go on and go to hell. If you deserve it. But if you don't deserve it, you know you don't deserve it, and you know you ought to have been in hell a long time ago, like I know I ought to have been. Well, then you stand on that platform of who you are, by nature a sinner, without hope and helpless and hopeless in yourself to do anything about it, then there's mercy for you. Mercy for you. But as long as you got something in your hand to offer God, He don't want any of that. The Lord Jesus Christ came to be the perfect Savior, to make a complete atonement, a full atonement for all your sins and misgivings. Come to do that. Hear ye Him. If you don't hear Him, who are you going to hear? Now see, He come to be the Savior. That's His business. Save sinners. Now, He came and provided a perfect salvation for all who receive Him. Any and all. Any member of Adam's fallen race that needs a Savior to save him from his sins. The Lord Jesus Christ welcomes him with open arms if he's a sinner, if he knows what he is. Our Lord said, come, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Well, if we don't listen to him, who are we going to listen to? Now, he came. That's what he came to do. He didn't come to settle petty disputes. Well, you remember they came to our Lord one time, some of the Pharisees, and they said, well, my brother died, and I married his wife. No, said, my brother died, and I had another brother, he married his wife, and he died, and another brother, he married his wife, and he died. Now he said, when this thing's all over with, whose wife is she going to be? Our Lord didn't come to settle petty disputes and local temporal problems and affairs, matters pertaining to this world. He didn't come to do that. He came to seek and to save. That was His business, to save people, not to settle petty disputes. And He came for the perfect salvation, to save any sinner that desires to be saved. Any. Doesn't make any difference if he's a sinner. If he knows how helpless and hopeless he is, he can't save himself, then he's a candidate. Hear ye him. Hear what he said. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Rest for your soul. Well, I come. I heard it years ago. I came then, and I came the day after, and the day after, and the day after. And I came yesterday, and I came today, and by the grace of God, I'll come tomorrow. Just keep coming. Until the last breath I have. And I'll be with Him. I won't have to come. I'll be with Him. See what I'm saying? There's a great salvation in it. Great salvation. That's in our God. Folks, worrying about what God did before the foundation of the world. I worried about what God did before the foundation of the world. You don't know who's the elect and who's not the elect until you come to Him. When you come to Him, you'll find out. You'll find out until you get to Him. Well, all right, I'm going to quit there. Hear ye Him. This my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him. And the disciples heard it, and they fell on their face and was sore afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Well, that's who we see, isn't it? Jesus only. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed. Jesus only. Father in heaven, thank you for Him. Oh, who you sent, Father, who fulfilled thy will and purpose, who accomplished salvation for his people. Father, that we have hope that we're in that number. Lord, we've come with all of our sins and our shame and our guilt. We've trusted in Him. We own Him, Father, as our Redeemer. May everybody under the sound of my voice, oh Lord, own Him. Own Him. Come to Him. Cling to Him. And count Him to be worthy to be their Savior. For it's in His name and for His glory we pray. Amen.